You guys may not remember this, but about a year and a half ago, I had asked you guys to share with Donna and I just some of thoughts that you would have on marriage. One of the books that influenced me, it's a book that was written like in the 1700s. And I only know it because I read that George Washington lived by this book when he was a young man. It's called The Rules of Civility for Living, or The Rules of Civility for a Young Man's Life. I can't remember. But basically, it's just, the book is nothing but about 100 and some different just insights or axioms, sayings that would be good for a person to remember to live a good life. And this really influenced George Washington, and that impressed me. And that's the whole reason I started. If you ever see me on Facebook, about the only thing I ever put on there is spiritual axioms. I think I'm at spiritual axiom 165 or something like that. I have like 600 spiritual axioms. I just keep adding to them in life. But about a year and a half ago, Don and I asked if you guys would share some of those thoughts or parables, or not parables, proverbs, axioms about marriage. And we didn't forget. It took us a little while, but we kind of condensed some together. We added about 70 or maybe even 80 of our own. At any rate, we have finally put this together. So we have what's called Marriage Proverbs. It's just a real simple book. It just begins with an introduction, but then it's just pages of spiritual proverbs. Proverbs for marriage, to strengthen a marriage. At the end, we also have a space, because I do encourage people, you've got your own proverbs. We've got spaces to write down your own marriage proverbs in there. But also, we've included pages of promises from the Word of God about marriage as well. So, we have these. I've got a box up here. They are for you to take. Please, take them. Enjoy them. Share them with other people that you might know that want them. So, marriage proverbs. Help yourselves. And thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your help on that as well. Yes, thank you. Thank yourselves. Is that all the work that I have to do? So now I can get to the fun. Now I get to the message. Good. Oh, yes. Dave. Where's Dave Carr? Dave! Everybody just look down at the floor and see how beautifully clean the carpet is. Thank you, Dave. Dave is a man that gives an awful lot. There's a lot of things whenever something gets broken, busted, or needs to be fixed. Dave is here to help us get those things done, and Dave's continually helping us. This carpet is almost 7 years old. It's about six and a half years old. Look how beautiful it still is, and a lot of it has to do because Dave takes good care of us and cleans it. So thank you, Dave. I appreciate it. It is a lot of work. Any other work? Nope. All right, so Donna's resting. Happy Mother's Day to everybody that's a mom today. Donna and I are going to go see my mom as soon as church is done. We're in the car heading to see my mom as well. Well, last week we began to look at the biblical account of the woman who was healed from the issue of blood when she touched Jesus. And as we looked at this, we could see that she was very specific in her reach for Jesus. She reached specifically for the hem of his garment. And it caused us to ask the question, or at least me to ask the question of you, why did she reach for the hem of the garment? I mean, why not reach for other things? Why not reach for his sleeve or his sandal? She's down low anyway. Why not reach for his belt? Or why not reach for parts of his body? His hair, we always have pictures of his hair being pretty long. Why not reach for his hair? Or, you know, we know that his hands and his feet were pierced. Why not actually reach and touch for his hands and his feet? She didn't do that. She reached specifically for the hem of his garment. Why did she reach for the hem of his garment? Well, we also read and we learned or saw last week that for Jews, for the Israelites living under the old covenant, the hem of the garment specifically represented something. It represented for them an actual extension of the person themselves. So the hem of the garment was an extension of the person. It was an extension of the status of that person. It was truly part of their identity. The hem of the garment that she reached for, it's part of the identity of the individual. It's an extension of the identity. It's part of their identity in the same way that you and I would look at our driver's license as being a part of our identity. But the hem of the garment was kind of like that in that it was their identity, but it was much more personal than that. And I gave you the illustration that they would actually even use the hem of the garment and the tassels that were attached, and they would impress them into wet clay, and it would act as a form of a signature. It was a means of sealing legal, binding documents. So this woman with the issue of blood, when she was reaching for the hem of Jesus' garment, she was truly reaching for the identity of Jesus himself. Jesus, who is the Son of God. She was reaching for a covenant with Jesus and his promises. That's what she was reaching for. We need to keep that in our minds as we read that story. It's very specific what she was reaching for. Now, we also saw last week, we learned more about the hem of the garment, which is also called the corners of the garment. And we learned about more of that from Ruth and from the book of Ruth. If you remember, Ruth, she actually reaped from the corners, very specific, from the corners of the field. Now, according to Levitical law, the corners of the field were not to be harvested by the owners of the field. The corners were left for the needy, for the poor, and for the strangers in the land. The corners are where God makes his provision. The corners represent God and the provision that he makes. It points us to the grace and to the mercy of Jesus Christ. So understanding what the corners of the field represented sets us up to then understand the corners of the garment that are revealed later in the book of Ruth. When Ruth herself asks Boaz to spread his covering, to spread the corner of his garment, another word for that is his wings, to spread his wings over her. Ruth is actually asking Boaz to become her kinsman redeemer, to enter into a covenant of marriage. This all foreshadows Jesus, who is our redeemer. When we accepted the new covenant in Jesus' blood, Jesus spread his covering. He spread the corner of his garment. He spread his wings over you when you accepted the new covenant in his blood. And then we also looked last week and we saw the account of David and King Saul. And if you remember that time when King Saul was in the cave, and we saw that David actually cut off a piece of the corner, very specific, the corner of Saul's garment. We also saw that when David did that, he immediately regretted doing it. Why? Because in essence, what David was doing, David cut away Saul's identity as the king of Israel. Remember, the hem or the corner, the corner of the garment, it represents an extension of the person, their status, and thus their identity. That's what David had cut off, and that's why David regretted his actions immediately. Yes, David had touched the one who was still the reigning king of Israel. Yet David was anointed to become the king. But that timing had not yet come for David to take the throne. In God's timing, it was not yet time. Saul was still the king of Israel, and Saul had been anointed by God. In spite of all of his failings, he still had been anointed by God. And David knew the heart of God concerning these things. And we saw that in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse number 12, or 22. The first part is what I care about. Saying, do not touch my anointed. And that's what David had done. So from that we learned to picture ourselves, you today, picture yourself covered in the garment of the covenant promises of Jesus Christ. Why? Well, so then when Satan tries to cut away or separate you from the promises of Jesus Christ that are yours, you can say, you may not touch me, Satan. I am the anointed in Jesus. And then we came to my favorite point from last week's message. When sickness comes, we can speak to the sickness and we can say, this is my legal contract. And this says that I am who Jesus says that I am. And Jesus says that I'm healed. This is my legal contract. And today, I am enforcing my legal contract. Today, I am legally evicting sickness permanently from this body. It is our legal contract. So that's a rather long review, but I wanted us to all be from the same, coming from the same place and that same basic understanding. That's a review of last week. So the woman with the issue of blood, she is somebody that is our example today. We should follow her example. She is our example of how and why we should receive, how we can reach out and possess every covenant promise. You can find it in here. It's yours. Possess it. We should reach out and possess every covenant promise that is ours in Jesus. So knowing that, let's go back. Let's read her account again together, and then let's build upon that for this morning. Everybody good with that? You don't have a choice because that's where I'm going. So you're going to come with me. This is Matthew chapter 9, verses 20, 21, and 22. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years, ever struggled with something healing-wise for a long time, and you just keep standing and standing, listen, be encouraged, because today is the day that we can say, this is my legal contract. I'm enforcing it. Sickness has no right in this, because I am anointed in Jesus Christ. Suddenly, he had a flow of blood for 12 years, came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that hour. In verse number 20, it says that she touched the hem of his garment. The word touched there, it actually means to lay hold of. That's the image we should have. As you think about those covenant promises that are ours, and you think about that covenant, we are reaching for the corner of the garment of Jesus, which is where he's made his provision. We need to lay hold of it. Touched means to lay hold of. But it also means this. Touched means to lay hold of or to touch something in such a way that it alters, changes, and modifies it. Think about that. We are touching something in such a way that it's going to change, it's going to alter, it's going to modify that which we are touching. So we are to lay hold of the promises that are ours in Jesus Christ. And as we lay hold of those promises, as we lay hold of them, we change the situation, we alter, we modify the situation so that those things in the natural realm that are contrary to the Word of God are modified, they change, they're altered. So now they are changed and they line up with the Word of God. Now the lesser things of the natural realm are changed and modified because of our reach in faith. She reached in faith. As we reach and touch in faith, we modify the situation so anything in our situation that's contrary to the Word of God changes so that it now yields. The natural things yield to the spiritual things, the greater truths. Amen? So how do we enact this touching? How do we enact this possessing? We do it by speaking His Word in faith. In the exact same way that we saw that the Israelites, the Jews, they would impress the hem of their garment. They would impress those tassels into the wet clay as to seal a legally binding document. In the same way, we are to impress the power of the Word of God into our life situations. We speak the Word of God and we possess those things. We speak the Word of God and we alter the situations that are contrary to the Word of God so they align. So that your situation, your circumstances, line up with exactly what the Word of God says and promises. I was going to say, somebody back me up on this. Somebody agree with me on this. See, if I ask you to agree with me on something, it's not because I need to hear your agreement, but there are sometimes that there are things that in the Word of God, we need to not just hear them with our ears. It's kind of like what was said this morning. We need to actually lay hold of them and grab them. We need to possess them, not just hear them, accept it and say, yes, that is true. It's true for me. I'm laying hold of that. That's part of what we're talking. It's part of the example that we see from the woman with the issue of blood. That is the reaching out and possessing the things that are for us in Jesus Christ. And that's how we actually lay hold of them and possess them. Now, it also says it starts with the word suddenly. Now, in some versions of the Bible, the word sudden is translated as behold. If you're looking in the King James, it'll actually say behold and behold. I love the word behold. I spoke about it as I was praying this morning, but if you listen, about a month ago, I touched on this. In fact, if you really listen, over the last 3 years, I've touched on this probably 4 or 5 times because I love the word behold. When you read the word, anytime you're reading in the New Testament and you see the word behold, it's like a light bulb goes off in me. It's like a light shines down on that, because when I see the word behold, this is what it says to me. It says to look and to see beyond this flesh. It means to see into the spiritual realm. Here's what it means exactly by definition, quoting exactly the definition as it comes from the Strong's. It means seeing the spiritual. It means perceiving with an inward spiritual perception. It's the ability to see beyond this flesh and to see the spiritual truths, the spiritual realities that we know are true, but we can't see them because the flesh tells us something different. But this is why we need to learn to listen, hear, and see the things of the spiritual realm and the spiritual reality. So, this woman with the issue of blood, she had not yet received her healing, but she could perceive it. She could see it spiritually, and she acted in faith, and she reached out, and she touched the corner, the hem of his garment, where his provision is. She reached out and touched his provision that he provided for her. Listen, Jesus has provided. I don't care what affliction, great or small, you walked in here today with. Jesus has provided for your healing. In fact, Jesus has provided deliverances for anything and everything that you will face in this lifetime. So think about what things are worrying you or stressing you today. Jesus has already provided deliverances. He's already seen it. He's already known. Before you're even getting, there's going to be things you're concerned about 2 years from now that you're not even aware of today. Jesus already knows it. He's seen it. He has already provided deliverances for those things. You and I, we need to see it. We need to perceive it with our spiritual eyes. And then once you see it and perceive it with your spiritual eyes, then follow the example of the woman with the issue of blood. Then, in faith, put faith into action and possess those promises as you speak those promises and you alter your present natural reality so your natural reality lines up with everything that's in that word, everything that is promised to you. Amen. These are truths for us to apply and remember, because everything in the world is going to tell you something different. And so we always need to remember. That's why the word that was shared this morning by the Holy Spirit before we even started, that's why it was so imperative that that was laid down as a foundation, because we need to train ourselves to stop being moved or believing solely by the experiences that we have in this flesh, solely by what we see or solely by what we're told. If your doctor has told you something contrary to the word of God, then you say, this is my legal contract. This is what I'm believing. If your lawyer or your family member or somebody tells you something in your life that's contrary to that, we need to train ourselves to hear, because Jesus is always speaking to you. He's always telling you. He's reminding me all the time. When I start to wander off and believe the wrong things, he's speaking to me. I need to train myself to listen, to hear him as he's speaking to me and leading me right back down his pathway, so I'm not wandering off to the left or to the right. Learn to listen, to hear, and follow the things, because Jesus is speaking to us to continue to encourage us and to direct them. Now look, I hope everything I just said, I hope that encourages you. And it should encourage you. It encouraged me to say it. But I also know this. Everything that I just shared, that's not new information. You know that. What I just shared with you, you've already heard that truth before. So, then the question becomes, why is it so hard for us to follow the example of the woman with the issue of blood and to lay hold of all those promises, of all those things, all those deliverances that he's provided for us. Why is it so hard? Well, we get part of that answer again from the example of the woman with the issue of blood. Why is it so hard? Often, we pray asking Jesus to do something, asking Jesus to heal me. We pray asking Jesus, heal me. Listen, I don't have to pray, I don't have to ask Jesus for something he's already giving me. That's not faith. You don't have to ask Jesus for what he's already given you. Know the promises and hold on to those promises. The woman with the issue of blood, she didn't ask Jesus to heal her. Read it again. Read it in any of the Gospels. She didn't ask Jesus to heal her. She just knew that if I can just touch the hem of his garment, his provision, I will receive. She didn't ask Jesus to heal her. She possessed what Jesus came to give her. That's the attitude that we have to have as well. Possess what Jesus has already given us. Now we can look at a parallel account of this to give us a little bit more clarity. This is from Mark chapter 5, verse number 30. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" The woman with the issue of blood. She didn't have to wait for Jesus to identify her. She had to wait for Jesus to identify who she was and then determine if he wanted to heal her at all. No, she didn't wait. She acted in faith, and when she acted in faith, his healing power flowed through him. It's the exact same thing for us today. Follow the example of the woman with the issue of blood. Follow her example, and let's lay hold in healing or in any area of our lives. Let's lay hold. Let's possess all of those promises and all of those deliverances that Jesus has already prepared and established for you. Now, last week, I had told you that one of the best ways to understand things in the Bible that are hard for us to understand is by letting the Bible explain the Bible. And so, last week, we allowed the Bible to explain the Bible so that we could get a better understanding of the corners of the garment or of the hem of the garment. And we allowed the Bible to explain the Bible in those areas and how that applied to us from the book of Ruth, from the account of David and Saul. But there's other places. I'm just going to hit a couple today. But another one, which I told you about last week, is we can also learn about the corner and the corners. We can learn about that from and the corners of this great sheet. We can learn about that from the sheet being the garment, the linen. We can learn about that from Peter's vision that Peter had in the book of Acts chapter 10. So let's read that together. Acts chapter 10, I'm going to read verses 9 through 16. And the next day, as they went on their journey, and they drew near the city, Peter went on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry, and he wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. And he saw heaven opened, and an object like a great sheet, bound at the four corners, descended to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again, a second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. In Peter's vision, Peter sees this great sheet descending down from heaven, bound, tied at the four corners. Now we know that the corners are where God makes his provision for all men. That's the corners. Now, the Greek word that we read, when we read that text, the Greek word that we read for great sheets, there's one Greek word, but it's translated by two words, great sheets. So that Greek word that we read as great sheets, it indicates linen, fine linen specifically. And that's important because I want us to see, picture what this word means, and then picture it in the context of what we just read. Linen is an emblem of moral purity. And that's why the garments of the priests were made of linen. So the linen that's being represented, that sheet being lowered down, represents moral purity. Where do you think that's going? But then the word that we read as great sheet, it also goes on to mean this. It means the first. It means the chief. Remember that. It means the foremost thing. It means that which is preeminent. What is that talking about? This is talking about Jesus. So the linen was bound at the four corners. Now again, we know the corners is symbolic of God providing all of His provision. The corners is symbolic of God's provision through Jesus, who is the preeminent one, who is the chief one. And in fact, that word that we read for great sheet, it also is tied directly to another word that is also used in the New Testament. It's the word that is used to describe Jesus as the chief cornerstone. So in Peter's vision, what Peter is being shown here in his vision, Peter is being shown that Jesus, the Son of God, descended from heaven to become the pure sacrifice, to make whole, to make clean all who would receive Him. Peter's vision is revealing to Peter and to you and I still today that this is done, that the work of Jesus Christ is already done and completed. Jesus doesn't have to heal you today because He's already provided the healing. We just need to possess, to reach out, touch, and possess the healings, the healing that is already ours, that is given to us. Now, all those animals that Peter saw on that great sheet, the Jews, all of those animals and all of those creatures, the Jews were not allowed to eat any of those things according to the law that was laid out in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. But in the new covenant and Jesus' blood, all of those restrictions are now, Peter's being told, all those restrictions are being removed. Why? Because Jesus has fulfilled the law in its entirety. Why is that important? Well, let's look together at 1 Timothy. Everybody still with me? Am I going too fast? I get excited and Donna says, slow down. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good. Nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Peter is seeing that everything is made pure by the blood of Jesus Christ. Peter is seeing that now he can take the good news. He can take the gospel to the Gentiles, to the entire world. All, you and I still today, all who have received Jesus may possess every one of His promises and every one of His deliverances. Now let's go back to verse number 11 in that account of Peter and the vision that Peter had in Acts chapter 10. Let me read that verse to you again. And saw heaven opened, and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners, descending to him and let down to the earth. Now again, we understand that the four corners represents where God makes His provision. And we understand that that great sheet shows us that everything has already been provided for us by the work of Jesus Christ, by the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. We understand both of those things. So then the next question is, why is this great sheet bound at four corners? Why is it bound at the four corners? Well, according to the Old Covenant law, any sacrifice, every sacrifice, was required to be, can I have that picture, Joshua? It was required to be bound, to be tied to the horns or the four corners of the sacrifice altar. Every sacrifice was required to be bound and to be tied to the horns, to the four corners of the altar. That's exactly what's being said. Now, with that picture in your mind, and with that in your mind, this is what it says in Psalm 118, verse 27. God is the Lord, and He has given us light. Bind the sacrifices with cords to the horns of the altar. God has given us the light. That is Jesus Christ. Jesus came down. He descended from heaven to become the perfect sacrifice lamb for all men. But then we read in the Gospels, we read that men bound Jesus and led Him to Pilate. We read that in Mark chapter 15, verse number 1. Immediately in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and the scribes and the whole council. And they bound Jesus, the sacrifice lamb, led Him away and delivered Him to Pilate. Now it's really important. It's important for us to know that men did bind Jesus. And it's important for us to know that sacrifices must be bound, tied to the corners of the altar, the sacrifice altar. But what is most important to understand is that Jesus did not have His life taken from Him. It's important that man bound Him, but it's also important to realize His life was not taken from Him. No, Jesus freely gave His life to us. So what is it that truly bound Jesus to the altar of sacrifice then? It's not the bondage of men. What truly bound Jesus to the altar of sacrifice is two things: His obedience to the Father and His great love for you. These are the two things that bound Him to the altar: His obedience and His love for you. We read this when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Listen to Jesus, and I'd encourage you to read that whole account in its fullness. We'll get even more out of it. But in Matthew 26, verse number 42, in the Garden of Gethsemane, again a second time, He, Jesus, went away and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, Your will be done." He's being obedient to the Father, and He is saying, if this cup can't pass, I will drink it. He's talking about the cup of wrath that is deserved by every single one who's ever sinned. The cup of wrath. You and I can't even comprehend, and we don't want to. The cup of wrath. The Bible shows us some of what that is. But Jesus is saying, I will obey You, Father, and I will drink the cup of wrath because of My great love for them. So in obedience, God, Jesus finishes His sacrifice of love for us. So we need to bind ourselves. Let's then bind ourselves to Jesus. Let us then reach out. Let us then reach out and possess the promises and the deliverances that He's already provided for us, and that He purchased for us by the price of His own blood. Let's reach out and possess those things. And then once we possess those things, let's make sure that we tell the world. Let's take the truth. Let's take the example. When we stand on the Word and you see your life altered so that the things of the world that are contrary to the things of the Word, and when all of a sudden the Word is now present and the Word shows it is superior to the things of the world, then we should take that. Tell people. Show them. When they saw you sick, let them see you healed. And make sure that they know that it's through Jesus Christ. We take the truth of Jesus Christ to the corners. It's the four corners of the world. Because the four corners of the world, there are men and women everywhere that need to see and know and hear that Jesus has made provision for them as well, for their salvation and for every promise that comes along with salvation. Now, I could spend a lot of time with this, but I just want to just focus on a couple more verses. we looked at the woman with the issue of blood, and we see that example of the woman with the issue of blood as she reaches in faith to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. The prophet Zechariah also gives us an illustration of grabbing for the garment. Listen to this from Zechariah chapter 8, verses 22 and 23. So many peoples and mighty nations will come. He's talking about a future time. Will come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem to entreat the favor of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days 10 men from all the nations will grasp the garment of a Jew, saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Now listen, there's an end time. There is a future truth of this that is yet to come. But this is also speaking, Jesus is the Jew that they're talking about there. Jesus is the Jew being spoken of. The word garment here, it means wing. It means corner. It means the edge. It means the border. This is Jesus, and it's the provisions that he's made for us. So grab hold of the garment of Jesus Christ and lay hold of all the promises and all the provisions. I'm not just talking about healing. That's the example. But it's every provision. It's every provision in your life. It's your finances, if it's your home, if whatever it is. All the provisions have already been made. Grab hold of the corner, grab hold of the garment of Jesus, and lay hold of all those promises that he has made for you. And let's possess them. And then let's take that to the world so that we can show the world, we can show them the covering garment of Jesus. Because that's what they need as well. So two last verses. These are both from the New Testament. So you remember that when Jesus died, he rose again, and he showed himself to the disciples. But of course, Thomas wasn't there. And so we see that when Jesus appeared and showed himself, when Thomas was there, listen to what Jesus says. Because Jesus says to Thomas, Thomas, do not be unbelieving, but be believing. And then he told Thomas to reach, specific word, to reach for him. This is the way it reads in John 20, verse 27. Then he, Jesus, said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands. And reach your hand here and put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. We need to be like the woman with the issue of blood. We need to be reaching for Jesus, believing and touching that area, touching his provision. He has made the provision. We need to touch it. Grab it. Lay hold of it. And possess it for ourselves. And then finally we see this from Paul. And listen, I encourage you, go through the Bible. Look at where it said, look at where it talks about reaching. There's a whole lot more that I didn't even share with you. Just look in the Bible where it talks about reaching and see some of those things. Let the Holy Spirit just continue to teach you about this. The woman with the issue of blood, we don't know her name, but her example is something that through all these centuries and for the rest of our lives is a word to us. It's an encouragement to us. It's a reminder to us to reach and to lay hold of and to possess everything that is already established and prepared for you. So here's what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse number 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Paul is saying, listen, there's much more for me to still grab. There's much more for you to still grab hold of in your life. And Paul says, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forward for those things that are still ahead. Reach forward for all those things that are still prepared for you. I need to reach forward for those things that Jesus has already prepared for me. Remember I told you the dream of Moses Vey with the warehouses when God showed him those warehouses in heaven? And if you remember in the dream, Moses said he was walking with Jesus and they're walking down this roadway in heaven, and on both sides of them there's all these huge, huge warehouses. And Moses asked, for those of you who don't know, Moses Vey is my pastor's pastor. He's the man that ordained me. Moses was a great man. And Moses said that he asked Jesus, what are all these warehouses? And Jesus said, well, let me show you. So he opened up one door, and the way Moses described it, he looked inside this warehouse, and he said, stacked from floor to ceiling, and he couldn't even see the back of the warehouse, but stacked from floor to ceiling is all of these things, things just boxed and ready. And Jesus said, each one of these warehouses is the warehouse for every individual. And I've already prepared everything that they need. And Moses said, well, why are they here? And Jesus said, just waiting for the people to take delivery. He prepared it all. We need to take delivery of all those things. So given what Paul just said, just ask yourself this. How many times have you prayed for healing and you didn't receive? Because we've all been there, right? And we know the disappointment and we know how frustrating that can be. But here's what I want us to think about and consider what Paul said. Forget yesterday. See, here's the biggest stumbling block for us to receive our healing, and it's one of the biggest stumbling blocks for receiving any of the things and the promises that Jesus has for us. We remember the past. If I prayed, I told you guys my testimony about asthma. I have been praying for 20 years as a believer. 20 years I prayed. I stopped going up when they had altar calls. I just accepted it as it was. 20 years I prayed. 20 years I never saw anything. Jesus showed me, I don't have time to go through it all, but Jesus showed me exactly what step to do and what to take to receive that healing. And then once I did that, I forgot the 20 years of disappointment. And the moment that I listened to what Jesus said, when I learned to hear what he said, and I obeyed and did what he said, once I did that, healing was there. Forget the things. If you've prayed for healing and you've just stopped, or you've prayed for whatever's going on in your life, if you prayed for those things, if you've ever said to yourself, why do I keep on praying? Nothing's happening. If you've ever said that about anything, then what Paul said is true. Today's a brand new day. Forget what is behind. Leave it behind. Today, listen to what Jesus is saying to you through the Holy Spirit. Forget what's behind. Today's a brand new day. Possess, lay hold of, possess what he's already established. It's in your warehouse waiting for you to take delivery. We take delivery by following the example of the one with the issue of blood. Reach out in faith and lay hold of, possess that which is ours. Reach out, reach forward, and take it. Amen? Everybody close your eyes. I know that probably all of us have something in our lives today as we're sitting here that we just haven't seen the answer. We've been waiting, we've been praying. Maybe it's healing, maybe it's something else. Holy Spirit, I thank you and I praise you that your words, specifically the words that you showed us from these examples, from the woman with the issue of blood, from what Paul said, from what was given to us in the Gospels, from what Zechariah said, from your word, I thank you and I praise you that each one of us today, we will forget, we will set behind, we'll let go of that which is behind. Set it aside. We're going to let it go. And today is a brand new day. And so with those eyes of faith that woman with the issue of blood had, we are reaching forward, reaching ahead, touching your provision, which you've made for us. In faith, we are speaking it, we're thanking you for it, and we are receiving it. So I don't know what are going through people's minds at this moment as I'm speaking these words, but I know that almost every one of us is thinking about something. I agree together in faith, and as each of us is saying, picturing ourselves as that woman, reaching for your provision, the hem of your garment, the corner of your garment, where you've already made provision, as we picture ourselves reaching for that, we forget what's behind and just take in. We listen and hear your voice. We see what you've already provided, and in peace and in joy and in faith, we speak your word, we receive it, and we say thank you for it. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's stand up and close in a song of praise this morning.